thank you, Father. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you. And we give you glory, honor, and praise. And Father God, we thank you right now for each and every one of these amazing people are here today. And we thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for them. And they will fulfill that plan and purpose. And Father God, we thank you tonight as we go to study your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void. But Father God, that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And Father, help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. Help us to go out in the highways and the byways and share that incredible gospel with people who are down and out, people who are looking for a Savior, Father. Father, we just thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst today. And Father God, we thank you. We come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability, that you be lifted up. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way, gives us utterance to speak with all boldness, the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you for that anointing that's present tonight, that anointing that saturates us, that anointing that changes us, that anointing that just is life-changing, that's working in our lives. And Father God, we just thank you once again for mom and dad. We thank you, Father, as they're on vacation. We thank you, Father, for just helping them to be able to refire and readjust and be ready to go out and tackle what God has for them to do. And we just thank you, Father, for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Like I said, mom and dad, they're on vacation. This week, next week, they're actually going to be on crusade. I'm sorry I wasn't here last week. I was supposed to be here, but actually I took a few days and spent a few days with my parents and on vacation as well. So that was kind of nice. So, you know, sorry I wasn't here. And I was going to wait until after Sunday night. And my mom actually last minute said, well, why don't you just go ahead and take off a little early? And so sorry I wasn't here, but I'm sure Tad did a wonderful job. I'm sure you had a wonderful time, amen. And that's the good thing about having a lot of good pastors here to be here when we're not. Amen. Well, I want to talk about something. First of all, I didn't give them the scripture, but one scripture I read a lot is John 10:10. And the reason I do is because we always have to be reminded the devil is real. And he's out to get us, you know. And it says the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come, you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I know a lot of preachers that they really hone in on the abundant life part. And I believe that too. But I really hone in on the thief part. Because the thief part's really what affects your life. You understand, yeah, God wants us to live prosperous and healthy or whatever. But the reason we're not is because there is a devil that's out to steal and to kill and to destroy you. And what I want to deal with tonight, and I know we dealt with it in the past, but I've just been dealing with it a few people that I've been counseling with and, you know, going through some situations with. I believe the biggest way the devil tries to destroy us is through fear. Amen. He tries to make us afraid. And really what I speak to tonight is more, you know, fear, one situation, both of them are medical situations, but, you know, whether it be a medical situation and you get a bad report, or whether it be a financial situation, you get a bad report, or whether it be any situation, you get a bad report, you know, there are some times that it seems that everything's against you, but you know what? God's still for you. Amen. And if God's still for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. And the thing about it is, you know, they say that fear is false evidence of appearing real. You know, and if we know who God is, why should we fear? But I understand also human emotion. Do you realize the first thing that every angel who appeared to a person in the Bible was fear not? That was the first word out of every angel, every, you know, Old Testament, New Testament, when an angel appeared to somebody, said fear not. Because, and I've thought about it many times. You know, if you're in your bedroom or wherever you are, and all of a sudden, boom, but somebody pops out from nowhere, and there's a person standing next to you in your bedroom that you don't know, And you can tell that they're like glowing white and have wings or whatever they have. I don't know what they have. There would be a tendency for you to fear. For you wonder, you know, who is this? And, you know, if some of you are packing, you know, to, you know, pull your gun out or whatever. You know, hands up, don't shoot. I mean, you know, like, I mean, you know. Because you're not used to people popping up in your bedroom that you don't know. That they don't knock on, anyway, you know, and nobody knocked, someone just appeared. I mean, so maybe you're different than I am, but I think about this kind of stuff all the time. And, you know, I try to make the Bible real. I think about, well, what would I do if something, if some angel just popped out of nowhere? Probably like, whoa, you know, is this godly? Is this the devil? What is this? You know, because I understand we've all seen cartoons, you know, where, you know, they have an angel on one side, devil on the other side, and you can tell it's an angel, tell it's a devil, but, you know, it's not always like that. I mean, you know, I'm not sure that an angel is always going to have wings. I don't know. You know, I'm not here to tell you what it's going to have, what it's going to not. I'm here to tell you not to fear, no matter what happens. But I'm here also to tell you that fear is a normal thing that human beings go through. And, you know, really, I believe what the natural thing is, you know, for us Christians, us believers, is for us, okay, when natural fear hits you, that's whenever you kick into who you are in Christ. So for a second, you're going to have some natural fear. And you're gonna probably, you know, hear a bad report, and you're going to think about something. But as soon as you do that, all of a sudden, you need to kick into your spiritual self. So who should I fear? Why am I afraid? See, you know, faith is the opposite of fear. But if you're in fear, you're not in faith. All right? Faith is an unquestioning belief. Fear questions. The biggest thing fear questions is when it comes in, what am I going to do? Well, that's showing you're not relying on God. If you're talking about what you're going to do, well, what you should do is turn to your God. There should be no question. That should not be a question. And I've heard people always say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I going to do in this situation? There shouldn't be a question what you're going to do. You're going to turn to God. See, I think step number one is knowing what to do when fear comes in. Turn to God. Because if you don't, you're going to drive yourself batty. I mean, you know, there are many people I know my grandfather talked about this, and, you know, back in his day when they weren't politically correct, they would call them the insane asylum. And he would say, well, there are more people in the insane asylum because of worry. Well, worry became because they begin to fear something, and they begin to worry about it, and they begin to worry about it, and they drove themselves mad worrying about it. But if you know God, what are you worrying about? Are you worried he can't take care of your situation? Are you worried he won't take care of your situation? Are you worried that you're not good enough? Because it doesn't matter what you've done or whatever, God still loves you. He still cares about you, and he's still there to help you. The Bible says that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So if he's there all the time, what are you worried about? See, a lot of times we get worried about things we shouldn't get worried about. And I'm not saying we're not going through situations that warrant worry. And I'm not saying it's not even a natural emotion. And I know, I actually heard my grandfather one time, and out of his whole mouth actually admitted the word worry. One time in my entire life, I've ever heard him say worry. And as soon as he said that, actually it was concerning my grandmother, who had got some bad report from the doctor, and actually she didn't go with us on a crusade. It was just me and him, and, you know, obviously, you know, he's used to her being there, helping him do his hair. I'm bad doing his hair, by the way. I just want to go on record that I didn't know how to do his hair, and I got fired like day one. Somebody else had to do his hair. You know, and I don't know how to do it because he has this, like, you know, comb and this little pick thing and all kinds of stuff, and you got to comb it over, and I just don't know how to do all that stuff. And then you got to spray it right and all stuff.
and he's real particular, you know, stuff. And he's getting mad at me, and I quit as a hairdresser after one day of doing his hair. Like, when's my grandmother going to come back? You know, they call up on one of the girls that traveled with us, said, hey, can you come and do Brother Hagin's hair? Because I'm not doing very good. So anyway, you know, there was my grandmother giving some not good news, and we were sitting in, I know exactly where I was, exactly the hotel. I think it actually was a Sheraton at the time. I'm not going to be a Sheraton anymore. We were in Indianapolis, Indiana. I don't know if it was Thursday or Monday or whatever, like he knows. But I do know it was lunchtime. It was actually, we were eating brunch. We didn't eat breakfast. We were eating lunch together. We're in Indianapolis, Indiana, getting ready to start a crusade that night, right there next to the Hoosier Dome at the convention center. And he looked at me and he said, Craig, I'm worried about your grandmother. Well, when I looked at him, you know, when he said worried, I mean, I was kind of eating, you know, then I looked up and he said the word worry, because I'd never heard him say the word worry. But as soon as he said the word worried, and I'm only saying this because, you know, the lesson for all of us, as soon as he said the word worry, he immediately said, no, I'm not worried because I'm not supposed to be worried. But I am concerned. And there's a difference in that, being concerned for someone, you know, and being worried about it, all right? Because worry will lead us, you know, to just drive us bonkers. Being concerned, and the reason he was concerned or worried is because he knew that my grandmother had to get it for herself on her own faith. You know, and also, too, as you get older, some of you, you know, hopefully you're not old enough maybe know all this, but as you get older, when some people start getting sick, sometimes they decide that they're just ready to go. I think he was concerned that that might happen, although if you know the story, it didn't happen because he passed on and she still lived. In fact, you know, we thought she had been doing some struggling with some physical stuff, and we thought she would go on before him, and lo and behold, he went on first, and she just kept on keeping on. I figured, well, after the, you know, he left, so she'd want to go, and nope, she wanted to stay, and, you know, and be there and see the grandkids and watch them grow up, and, you know, praise God. You know, but like I said, he said the word worry. So, you know, I'm just saying it's natural for us all at some point in time to sometimes worry, sometimes to be afraid. But when that comes in, we need to start thinking, you know what? It's not for us to be worried about. It's for us to trust God about. Because God is our source. God's the one that takes care of us. And if God can't do it, I don't know who can. And, you know, for me, you know, and I don't want to pick on anybody, but for me, for you to worry about something and to be afraid about something, for as a Christian, is you're telling me that your God's not able to take care of it. And he isn't going to take care of it if you don't let him take care of it. You know, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. Ask what we will and it shall be done. All right, but having faith for something is not having fear for something. Faith is having something before you see it. It's an unquestioning belief. You know you have it. It's yours. Now, faith has the answer when it doesn't see the answer, because you're not moved by what you see. You're not moved by what you feel. You're not moved by anything. You just know that your God is able, your God is willing, your God loves you enough, and your God's taking care of it. Fear, on the other hand, starts asking questions, when is this going to happen? Why is it not happening? And, you know, begin to be afraid. And I've seen people die because of fear. Especially in a situation, and, you know, and I understand. I mean, I you know, I say I can rate. I have never been there, never want to be there. But, you know, number of people, that when they get terminal cancer and the doctor gives them a bad report, what happens a lot of times is they get afraid and they die. Because you have two choices. You can trust God or you can die. You know, and, you know, I understand going to heaven's not a bad thing, but you know what? I don't want to go there early. All right, you know, I do want to go to heaven someday. Someday, you know, when roll is called up yonder, I'm going to be there, but I don't want to be there tomorrow. Unless everyone else is going tomorrow too. You know, the Lord's coming back tomorrow, and obviously, you know, I want to be there tomorrow if everyone else is going tomorrow, but I don't want to beat everybody else there.
at this point in time. Maybe I get older, you know, and the Lord chariot is coming. Maybe I feel different. I'm just ready to go. But right now, I'm not ready to go and not going to go. But you know what? I've seen people get in fear, and all of a sudden they get in fear and they quit trusting God. Because you can't be in fear and trust God at the same time. Because if you're in fear, sorry, I had my volume up, so when I got a text message, it beeped. Maybe you didn't hear it, but I did, and so it's bothering me, distracting me, and you know, I have enough ADD without the things to make noise. Someone was telling me I did a good job this morning, by the way. You know, and I touched on this at the very end, and turn your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and this is where Paul telling Timothy about fear and not to be afraid. 2 Timothy 1, starting at verse 7, actually, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." So, you know, if fear doesn't come from God, it comes from the devil. Now, I've never said this before, but I just was thinking about this. Understand it says spirit of fear. Doesn't say Holy Spirit. Spirit of fear, you know, is it's a demonic thing. It's a spirit. Fear is a spirit. Well, how do we come against spiritual things? With the word of God, with the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I command the spirit of fear to go in the name of Jesus. See, when it comes to healing and other things, you know, financial things, when you have the fear, you need to do with two things. First of all, thank God for your healing. Also, sometimes come against the spirit of fear. And sometimes what happens is we don't come against that spirit of fear, and that spirit of fear comes upon us all the time. You know, and sometimes Christians even, in fact, sometimes I want to kick Christians out of, I mean, fellow church members and family members out of people's hospital rooms. Because they walk in, I mean, you know, after someone gets a good report, I mean, a bad report, they walk in and says, you know what? You know, my aunt had the same thing. Oh, it was bad. Oh, it was, I mean, we watched her suffer for months. Finally, she went on, but she's in heaven, praise God, hallelujah. Well, you know, that's not a lot of comfort. When you're lying in the hospital bed and you've been given, you know, a year to live, a couple months to live, or whatever. That's what I call an anti-testimony. If you have an anti-testimony, keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself, because anti-testimonies don't help anybody. They're anti-testimony. If you have a testimony how your aunt had a situation, but you know what? They trust God and they're still alive today, then give that one. Amen. You know, and I think one thing that I think that we are, you know, we being this generation, or you know, I understand some say, well, I'm not this generation, I'm an older generation. Well, you have access to the internet. All right, the fact that we have access to the internet means whatever disease you might have, I guarantee you there's somebody on the internet that's had that same disease, and there's got to be somebody who's been healed of it. Find that person, get that testimony. And even if you can't find that person, it doesn't matter. Because Jesus Christ took the stripe on his back for every disease that's named and not named. Amen. You know, and sometimes too, I'm going to tell you this. Sometimes maybe you need to quit researching, you know, I think it's good to research. I research a lot of things, you know, when the doctors tell me a lot of things. But at some point in time, sometimes it's good to stop. Especially whenever you could turn over to fear. You know, don't give yourself an opportunity to be afraid. Don't be like my wife. I mean, not she's being afraid, but my, you know, as some of you know, that I've been diagnosed with kidney disease, and she began to read about people with that disease, and she said, "Craig, you know that almost every person I read about, they have to end up on dialysis, and sometimes you know lose kidneys and die and early death." And I said, "I don't want to hear about it." Right. Now I know it's not going to happen to me because my faith is in my God. But the fact of the matter is, I don't want to read about people dying, people being on dialysis. You know, that's not the report that I want. And I understand, I understand, you know, what the chances are. And, you know, I talked to or know of two different people that were on the same medication I was on and said all it did was make them fat. And when you're already kind of fat, you know, to be more fat, it's not even a good deal. You know, and I'm on medication, you know, and I've been gradually dropping down. I'm still on it, but I'm down to went from 80 milligrams a day to 10 milligrams a day, praise God. You know, and last time I had my kidneys checked, everything was in the normal range, and they're making sure it's still in the normal range, because at that time I was taking like 25 milligrams, so I mean, I'm taking a lot less, and hopefully now we can wean down to nothing and continue to be on. That's where our faith is, amen. But, you know, everybody else said, well, they took the same thing, and it didn't do anything for them except they got fat. They ballooned up, you know, that's why I'm ballooned up more, and I'm, you know, I'm already ballooned up enough. And I asked a doctor the other day, I said, can I get on a program, you know, to start losing weight? He goes, no, not until we get off the medication. I'm like, but I'd like to lose some weight. I feel fat, but I feel fatter than I was. And by the way, McKinney's disease actually had nothing to do with my weight, which some people say, well, see, you're not healthy and this and that and everything else. Nothing to do with it. In fact, he said, I got another patient who has the same thing. He's a marathon runner. He runs marathons. He obviously is a lot better shape than you are. But his is worse. So, you know, but you know what? I found that the devil is no respecter of people. He'll attack fat people, skinny people, ugly people, pretty people, any kind of people. You have to put your own stuff in your own category. I'm not calling anybody anything, by the way. Just for the record, Craig did not call anybody fat, ugly, pretty, skinny. Craig just said that the devil attacks everybody. I'm going on the record, that's on the tape now, or CD, or whatever. Everybody knows the devil is no respecter of people. He attacks everybody. And, you know, and it doesn't matter if you're a minister, not a minister. It doesn't matter that the same devil attacks you, attacks me. There is no difference. But Paul told Timothy to don't have a spirit of fear. Well, how do you get rid of it? Say in the name of Jesus, I command this spirit of fear to leave me alone. Fear, you have no right in my body. Fear, you have no right to distract my head. Because see, what happens? The devil will start talking to your head. Sometimes he'll use other Christians to actually, I'm being serious, to actually help his little cause. Blah, blah. Well, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? This person died. That person died. This person got sick in 3 months and they were gone. Blah, 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 blah. And people don't mean to be like, they're not meaning to do it. You know, so, you know, I'm trying to tell you to walk in love toward these people. Kick them out of your room nicely, you know. Don't talk to them nicely. Well, how come you blocked me on Facebook? Because I didn't want to hear anti-testimonies anymore. I don't know. You know, but you can be nice, but you know what? I just don't want to hear anything negative. Man, we hear enough negative stuff. Why do we need more? We understand that fear also sells. Fear is what drives the news. Do you realize the news talk more about things that you'd be afraid of than they talk about good things? Every once in a while you hear a great story, but you know what? They only put the feel-good stories in whenever it's a slow news day. That's the absolute truth. I'm going to tell you that because I know some stories, you know, that maybe have been involved with or know someone involved with and said, well, we'll wait, we'll air that on a slow news day. Because the feel-good story, that's, you know, it's there all the time. You know, someone's doing something for some, you know, charity or whatever. But they've been doing it for it'll work for 6 more months. We can still, you know, talk about that later on. We're not putting it on their day. So usually they'll relegate those to weekend coverage. You know, and unless something bad happens on the weekend, then we'd rather talk about the fear story. You know, but fear motivates us. A lot of us get motivated by fear. Well, I mean, around here, we live in Oklahoma. I mean, most of you, I'm assuming, live in Oklahoma since you're here in Oklahoma City. And in Oklahoma City, obviously, we all know Oklahoma City has been the most hit city by tornadoes than any other city in probably the world, but at least in the United States. Do you guys know that? Anyone know that? Also, Oklahoma now leads the nation in earthquakes. Anyone know that? No, I believe that there's probably some reasons for it, but I'm, you know, nobody can prove it, so who knows? But anyway, that's,
either here or there, at least so far, they've been smaller earthquakes, and really, unless you live real close to it, hasn't been a lot of damage. But tornadoes have done a lot of damage over the years, and we've seen it, you know, firsthand. I'm sure a lot of you've seen it. I mean, I've worked tornado relief, you know, and been there, and you know, and I've told people, you know, I've been there when the F5s, been there in the F3s, but you know what? It don't matter if your house gets destroyed. It's like, oh, well, praise God, brother's only an F2. If you had an F5, you wouldn't even have a house to even stand on. At least your house is halfway there. Well, it doesn't do any good. Yeah, it's halfway there, but they're going to tear it down the rest of the way because it's, you know, it's demolished and rain's all poured into it or whatever. But, you know, I found out that that's one of the biggest fears of people now, because the more tornadoes they hit, the more fearful people become. I know people who have moved out of some certain areas of the city because of fear over tornadoes. You know, and I just read a couple of weeks ago the 91st Psalm to you guys, that 1,000 may fall to the right hand, 10,000 to the left hand, or vice versa. I can't remember what it says, but nothing will come nigh your dwelling. You know what? Start claiming some stuff. You know, instead of getting afraid, you know, I understand we should respect the weather. We should be understanding. I'm not saying, you know what, Craig said, don't ever go in any tornado shelter. I didn't say that. All right. I did not say that. I didn't say, you know, not have a tornado. I mean, I'm okay with taking precautions, but I believe the biggest thing that whenever the threat comes is start. See, don't wait till, well, and you know, 5 miles away from your house, the tornado's headed there, to start taking authority. Take authority over it when it's 100 miles away from your house. Take authority when it first formed. Take authority when, you know, now, I mean, you know, we've seen here recent times that the news report said, well, this weekend is going to be prime time for tornadic outbreak. Okay, when you hear prime time, we're trying to start to say, take authority over it at that point in time. You know, that's how a lot of people are, like, last minute when it comes to financial situations. You know, okay, I've been there, folks. You've been there, folks, that we maybe made some bad financial moves, or maybe we unplanned for something happened, we lost jobs or whatever. But, you know, I found out that before the bill is due, we usually know about it. But what happens a lot of times is we ignore it for a long time. And then we wait till, like, you know, it's due tomorrow. Hey, I got an idea. Let's ask the Lord to help us. And I've been there, so I know. So I'm not saying something you haven't done. We've all done it. But you know what? We knew when we lost our job that there were going to be some financial situations that we might need to start believing God for at that point in time. Or we knew when that situation happened, you know, you weren't planning for your transmission to go out, but it just did. It went under warranty. So you have a choice. You can take the bus to work or whatever, or you can fix your transmission and believe God for extra money to pay for it. Most of you probably fix your transmission. Some of you might say, you know what, I'm just going to go get another car because, you know, I'm going to have to fix this, that, whatever. You weren't planning on those kind of things. You know what? Things happen sometimes. But instead of getting afraid about it, trust God. Trust God. Trust in the Lord. You know, going back to old times, it says, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Man, just trust God. When the opportunity for fear comes in, first of all, get rid of that fear. I think that's the thing. As soon as it comes in, get rid of it. Don't let it linger. Don't let it sit around for 5 days before you decide, you know what, I'm going to get rid of that fear. You know, and I know whenever fear comes in. We all know it. Whenever we begin to get fearful over whatever situation it is, or begin to worry about stuff, you know, and don't ever say, I don't know what to do, because we all know what to do. Turn to the Lord. Yes. In fact, in any situation that you're facing, if you ever get to a point where you actually say these words, I don't know what to do, as soon as you say that, say, I'm going to let God, I'm going to turn it to God. Because if you don't know what to do, then quit doing it. And let God, you know, that's, I would say, let go and let God. Because he loves you. Yeah, but I haven't been a good Christian. I haven't given an offering in a long time. I don't care what you haven't done. Not about what you haven't done. It's about what he has done. Amen. It's about what he did whenever he sent his son to this earth. Because he loved you that much. And whenever he died upon the cross and he said, it's finished. He was saying, all suffering is finished at that point in time. If you let it be. But if you want to sit around and worry about it, you can. Because you know what? Just like you had a choice to be saved or not be saved, you have a choice to be in fear or not be in fear. It's your choice. God doesn't want you to be in fear, but you can. You can let fear dominate your life. You know, there are a lot of good Christians that I know that they're on their way to heaven. But man, they're suffering here on the earth. They're letting the devil beat them up left and right. You know, they're not, remember the second part of the verse? I have come that you might live life more abundantly. Well, they're not living life more abundantly. They're not even living life abundantly, much less more abundantly. They're not even living life halfway abundantly. I mean, they're barely living life. They're good people. But you know what? It's their choice. They can choose to accept what God's done for them. Or they can choose to live life that their way. But you know what? At some point in time, you got to turn it over. You know what I found out? People who are control freaks have a hard time turning things over to God. But it's time for you to live life out of control. And I don't mean recklessly. I mean that you need to let God control your life. Give him 100% everything. Because you know what? You haven't been able to do it anyway. There are so many problems I can't solve. So I just don't even try. I found out there's a whole lot less pressure when you quit trying. I don't worry about it. I mean, you know, I haven't worried one day about my kidneys. Amen. Don't worry about it because I know that my God's in control. Amen. You know, and I've seen some negative reports and I've had some negative things happen. And all I do is look at those negative things and say, I thank God that my kidneys are functioning normally. What else am I going to do? You know, what else am I going to do? Because, you know, either, you know, my God's not a liar. So either my trust really isn't in him or he can't do it. One of the two. But I think so many Christians, without saying it, they're believing their God can't do it because, you know, they quit believing. Because, you know, and they didn't mean to. It's like I said, it's really easy to get over in fear. You know, and a lot of times that we need to understand, and I've said it many times, I'm going to say it again, I'm going to say it until people quit saying it. Don't let fear dominate any area of your life because fear is a spirit. Amen. Don't tell me you're afraid of heights. Don't tell me you're afraid of closed-in spaces. You say, yeah, but Craig, every time I go to a high place, and you know, I just start freaking out. Well, you know what? That's because you're letting the devil dominate you. Or, you know, I know people are afraid of getting in the elevator. Yeah, but Craig, you know that elevator might stop. Yeah, but you know, hopefully it does stop at some point in time and I get off on my floor. Yeah, but it might get stuck. You know what? You probably have better chances of getting hit by a car on your way home than the elevator getting stuck. But there is a slight, you know, time that maybe the power grid does go out and you do get stuck in an elevator. So what? Go to sleep or, you know, do something. I mean, how many times have you wanted a time to go to sleep? So you're stuck in the elevator for an hour, you got an hour nap. If you were at work, you probably got paid for it. See, God bless you. Be in an elevator and get all stuck in an elevator. Yeah, but there wasn't even lights on, but, you know... See, I'm always an optimist, you know. It's dark, I get asleep. You know, they'll get the lights on sometime. It'll work. Yeah, but there are no buts with God. Quit saying but, you know, it doesn't really matter. You know, what are you going to do? You know, things happen sometimes. Sometimes you feel like you get stuck in life. What are you going to do? You know what? Just trust God.
Amen.
You know, maybe we need to go back to children's church when we're singing, he's got the whole world in his hands. He got you and me, brother, in his hands. Remember all those things, you know? Because some people think that God, all of a sudden, he had everyone in his hands, and then he actually moved his hands and dropped a few. But God's not going to drop you because you got older. He's not going to drop you, all right? Yeah, but, you know, this is my first time I've been in church, and I don't even know when. God still loves you whether you go to church or don't go to church. Now, it talks about, you know, the not forsake assembling yourself together. In fact, in one situation I'm dealing with, a personal friend, and they living in a city that they've only lived in a couple of years, but you know what? They didn't go get involved in church, so they have no friends. They didn't meet any real friends, in their neighborhood. And they don't have any friends that really believe, like they need people to believe. Because you know what? When you're sick, it's good to have somebody that can stand with you, help you. Because whenever you're weak, they're strong. Because this person's dealing with some things. They're dealing with fear. But you know, they're alone a lot. They don't have a lot of friends to encourage them. You know, and it's frightening because they've given a bad report. Their body's weak. You know, and I get it. But I'm like, well, you know, I told my wife, I said, they've lived there for 2 or 3 years. I mean, you know, man, I can make friends in 2 or 3 minutes. They live in an apartment complex. How can you not make friends if you live in an apartment complex? If I live in an apartment complex, I know everybody in the apartment complex. But that's just me. I talk a lot. I mean, you know, I meet people. Now, I don't know if anyone in the apartment complex would believe like I believe, but at least I'd have friends. Maybe some friends in some low places, but I had friends. At least I, you know. Because in this situation, they have some kids involved, and they don't even have some people who would even help, you know, maybe go run to the store or even could babysit the kids for a short time while going to the medical appointments. They don't have any friends, period. I'm like, how do you live in a place? I mean, if I lived a week in an apartment complex, I would know a lot of people. Some people I might like and some people I might not really like, you know, but I love them anyway through Christ Jesus. But, you know, maybe they're frustrating. But I would know a lot of people. Then I, you know, if I wasn't a minister, I would get involved in a local church and I know people in my church. You know, but they didn't do that. You know, that's why it's important. And I'm not here to advocate going to church, but it is important to meet people who believe like you believe. That can stand with you. Some people you can call upon. You know, it's great to have Facebook friends, but you know what? When your Facebook friend lives in Miami and you live in San Francisco, they're not helping. I mean, they maybe can give you some words of encouragement over the internet, or maybe you can even FaceTime with them or whatever, talk to them on the phone, but they're not there to babysit your kids. You know, and there's persons in a situation where they don't have a lot of money, so it's not like they can call 1-800-BABYSIT-MY-KIDS, you know, or something like that and pay somebody. And even if they wanted to pay someone, they don't know who to call to pay someone because, you know, we live in a day and age where you just can't trust anyone with your kids. We understand that. So, I mean, you know, so it's a tough situation. Moral of the story, meet people. And go to church. Meet good people. If they're not good people, meet them and, you know, make them good people, you know, by loving on them. So being a friend. You know, and I'm being funny about this, but it's a sad situation. This person's dealing with, it's a sad situation. I mean, you know, she'd been given maybe months to live, and she's dealing with, you know, some younger kids and stuff, and it's a bad situation for her, you know, and her husband's having some marital issues too, so that's not helping. You know, and so, you know, I'm not here to tell you about someone else's. I'm just kind of giving you a generalized. You don't know who the person is. But we have all been there. And this person's just ate up with fear. All they know about believing God. They know about what to do. Now, but one thing too is, you know, a lot of times we get worn down. We don't stay in the scriptures. I quote the scriptures all the time. I quote the scriptures myself all the time. Now, maybe you're different than me. But I quote all the time. I quote scriptures when I go through on a daily basis. And it's not, I ain't quoting scriptures. I'm not quoting scriptures, since I ain't. I'm not quoting scriptures because it's my daily devotions. I quote scriptures because I need them at that point in time. Amen. And you know what? You know, but I can quote them because I know them. But you have to know the word in order to use the word. My grandfather said the number one reason why people don't get healed is because they don't know the word. They don't know what the word says, what it promises us. You know, and even if you know the word, what happens is sometimes we know the word, but we forget the word, or we don't stand upon the word. You know, and I said this morning, actually preaching, a lot of people are standing more on their diagnosis than they are on the word. And that's why fear comes in. Because all they think about is what the doctor said. And you know, number one, I believe that we should go to doctors. I 100% believe that. I believe you should go to as soon as possible when you're sick. Because a lot of times people are afraid to go to the doctor because they're afraid they might have a bad disease and they don't want to hear it. But you know what? I think that you should, I think every person should go to a doctor to find out what is wrong with you. Because I've been there while I'm, you know, when I had the kidney thing, I didn't know it was my kidneys. And in fact, when I went to the doctor didn't know it was my kidneys. You know, I had to go through a lot of tests before they found out it was my kidneys. They thought it might have been this, and it might be that, and it might be, I mean, you know, I almost had an all-over body scan. You know, and I had to have, then they said, okay, we believe it's your kidneys, and they need to do a biopsy on something, you know, to determine, you know, completely if I have, I think we think it's this disease, but we need to do this. And so they ran tests. But you know what? As soon as we found out what it was, then it was a whole lot easier to pinpoint our prayers on how to pray for it. Exactly. You know, because if it was before, we would actually be praying against the symptoms and not against what needs to happen in the body. And I'm not saying God can't heal you if you don't know what's wrong with you. I'm just saying it's good to know what's wrong with you so you can pinpoint your prayers on how to pray. Amen. You know, but I found out the reason why people don't know what's wrong with them because they're afraid to go to the doctor. They're afraid to hear the truth. You know, and I understand that. Sometimes it's scary to hear the truth whenever the truth isn't really good. But that's when you have to decide whose report you're going to believe. Amen. You're going to believe that report, you're going to believe the report of the Lord. You know, I'm here to believe what God says. Amen. God says that if I believe that all things are possible, all things means all things. Amen. All things are possible to them that believe. All things means whatever I need. What do I need? If I need healing, it's possible. If I need a miracle, it's possible. I need a financial situation, you know, taken care of, it's possible. Whatever I need is possible through my God and knowing my God. In fact, you know, in the Old Testament, over over in Joshua chapter 1, Old Testament, good verse, Joshua 1:9, it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Well, that's Old Testament, but that's still true today for you. If you know your God is with you wherever you go, why would you be afraid? You're only afraid because you don't know God's with you. I understand you sneezed this morning and someone said, "God bless you," but that don't mean he's with you. And they didn't really want to bless you anyway. They just said it because it was a habit, which I don't know why people even say "God bless you." I'm sure it's on the internet. We can figure out why people say "God bless you," because, you know, I always say if you want the biggest blessings, snort a lot of pepper. And all day long, as you sneeze, people will be saying, "God bless you, God 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 bless you." Man, God would be blessing me all day long. But did God really bless me because someone said it? No, you know what? Well, actually, If I believed it, it would happen. Because God did bless me. And he blessed me before I sneezed. And he blesses me after I sneeze. And he blesses me if I never sneeze. Because God has already blessed you. And like I said, if God be for you, who can be against you? Why are you worried about things? You're in fear because you don't know that God is right next to you wherever you go. He's helping you. He's leading you. He's guiding you. He's with you. He's always with you. And so it's a whole lot easier to, you know, maybe you need to get an imaginary friend and name him God and put him right here with you and carry him with you all the time. And that doesn't make your imaginary friend God, okay? That just reminds you that God is with you. In fact, forget about that. Go out and buy a faith friend. And you carry a stuffed animal, put him in your pocket all day long, carry a stuffed animal, and everyone's going to say, who's that? That's God. That's my faith friend named God. I'm just reminded he's always with me. You know, get the eagle one. The bad thing about it, it's not big enough to be, you can put him up top, hold him up, but it's not really, you might be under his wing, but his wing's not really covering you. It's kind of, but you get the point. Sometimes maybe, and I'm not saying stuffed animals don't become God, okay? I want to reiterate that. I'm just saying some people are so visual, they need to understand God's with them. You know, even if they don't sneeze, God's still with them. God is with you all the time. And he wants to bless you. And he doesn't want you to be afraid. And it goes back to Jesus warning us a long time ago. Hey guys, the devil's going to try to scare you. And if he does scare you, it's going to kill you. It's going to destroy your life. But you know what? Don't be afraid, because I've came. Amen. I came to this earth. So you don't have to be afraid. Right. And instead of being afraid, you can have an abundant life through me. Because we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Right. Through him, we can have an abundant life. Without him, we can't have anything. You know what? But we need to know who we are in Christ Jesus. Because without Christ, we're nothing. But with him, we're everything. There's nothing we can't do. You know, and I understand as I begin to speak, now you're thinking to yourself, well, I'd be stupid to be afraid. Why should I be afraid? But here, I mean, let's just be honest. We've all been there. We've all been afraid. If you were to raise your hand and say, I've never been afraid, then you're a liar. I tell you to run for office. Maybe sit a council. Maybe a governor. I don't know. It might be good. You know, if we know you're a liar, at least we know where you can be. I'm not wanting to be mean, but I'm just being honest. There are a lot of liars out there. You know, we've all been afraid. And I can tell you not to be afraid. You know what? You can come next week and still be afraid. Because the devil's scary. And, you know, he knows all the scary tricks. And he's not just dressing up, you know, in a Casper costume and saying, boop. Because that's sometimes how we think sometimes. Well, you know, there's you know, some ghost costume and he's saying boo or what. It's not about that. It's about, you know, he knows what pushes your buttons. He knows what causes you anxiety. You know, and I don't have time to finish the scripture, but, you know, God has given us power, love, and a sound mind. Sound mind means peace. Peace abides all understanding. You know, the Bible says to be anxious for nothing. I mean, so don't worry about anything, but in everything, just give it to God. Give it to God. That's Craig's paraphrase translation. Just give it to God. And when you do, the peace of God that passes all understanding will overtake you. Man, just give it to God. Quit worrying about stuff. Quit being afraid about stuff. And every time fear comes in, turn that fear into faith. And remember, fear is a spirit. It's a spiritual situation. So we get rid of fear by saying, in the name of Jesus, I command that spirit of fear to leave my house, to leave this body, to leave my family. You have no right. You have no authority in the name of Jesus. The Bible says at that name that demons have to tremble. Man, you know, we've been given the name to use.
the name above every name. And this is exactly, you know, I'm telling you exactly what I do. I don't know how many times I've actually spoken those exact words. I command the spirit of fear to leave my house. Amen. To leave my life. Because, you know, I said, we've all been there. And I thank you, Father, that my body's well. I thank you, Father, you're taking care of my financial situation. I thank you, Father, that all my needs are met. I thank you, Father, that I'm having life and having it more abundantly. I thank you, Father, that I am the head, not the tail. I thank you, Father, that I'm above, not beneath. I thank you, Father, that I'm victorious in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper in the name of Jesus. Man, because I don't know how many times weapons start coming and we can start getting fearful. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I? Quit saying, what are you going to do? You turn to God and say, God, here's my situation. Fix it, please. And he's ready, willing, and able every time. He's just waiting for you to ask. But when you ask him, whenever you say, God, fix it, you quit trying to fix it. You know, now, he'll lead you and guide you. Like I said, you'll down a path in order to fix it sometimes. He'll give you ideas. But those are his ideas, not yours. You know, a lot of times, you know, well, Craig, I have this idea. Well, that's great if you have an idea or whatever. But you know, the thing about it is, I find that people get places, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I say, I don't know what to say. Turn it over to God. I don't have the answer except for Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the only answer. Amen. There is no other. Amen. Moral of the story, quit being afraid. Walk in faith, not in fear. Every time you have an opportunity to walk in fear, get out of it. Amen. And I'm going to say, once again, just like my grandfather did that one time, you might for a split second worry. But as soon as you say the words worry, as soon as you say the word afraid, as soon as you say those words, that should trigger something on the inside. Something on the inside be jumping up and down. Uh-uh, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't say it, don't say it.
That's right. Amen.
Now, if you don't know the word, what the word says, then you're not going to have something up and down on the inside. See, but your head is going to say, that's why we have to put our body under. That's why, you know, the Bible talks about renewing our mind. Because our mind is what, you know, is natural thinking. We think what a person thinks. But our spirit doesn't always think naturally. Our mind says it can't be done. Our spirit says, yes, it can through God. Amen. Through Christ. Amen. You can do all things. You know, I said, that's my mom's favorite scripture. So I don't even ask. My mom's asked me to do some of the things. I'm not qualified. I don't even know who's qualified. I don't know how it's going to work. But she just says, Craig, we need to do this. And, you know, I need to figure out somebody to do it because she doesn't know anyone to do it. And I know I can't tell her I can't do it because she'll say, well, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. So go out and figure out how to do it. Go. Get back to me in a couple of weeks. Now, so I've learned my new thing. We can do it, but right now I found out it's going to cost this amount of money. If that's what you want to do, let's do it. But, you know, we can do it for cheaper than that, I'm sure. Anyway. But, you know, she stretched me I don't know how many times because that's her favorite scripture. So I understand the scripture. I also understand there's nothing I can't do. And it's not because I'm special because I'm, you know, I am pretty smart. I really am. I'm pretty, you know, I don't act smart. I act pretty dumb sometimes when I preach. But I am really smart. I'm really, really intelligent. I have a pretty high IQ, you know. But the reason I don't want to act smart because it's not about what I know that really matters. It's about who I know that really matters.
Amen.
All right? It's not about my IQ. It's not about, you know, what I can do. But, you know, no matter how smart you are, there's things you can't figure out. There's things you can't figure out. And I rely on the Holy Spirit all the time to help me figure out things. You know, and I feel I know a lot. I know a little about a lot of things, you know, and it's because I've had to, you know, just working with different things, everything, you know, from computers to sound equipment to musical instruments, and not I can play them. I can't really play them. I just know what they cost. You know, a lot of times some are better than others. Something a lot of it's opinions or whatever. But you know, I know about a lot of stuff like that. I've gone to conventions. I've gone to seminars. I've studied it. You know, I've done you know all kinds of stuff. You know, because I was put in charge of something, and I'm like, well, I'm going to be in charge. I better learn something about it because I don't know anything about this. So, and I believe in educating our mind. I believe in educating this, but, you know, but there are some times that, you know, no matter how smart you are, you don't have the answer. But we all have the answer through Christ Jesus. So, you know what? Just trust in God and quit being afraid. I always go back to the three little pig mentality. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf when you're standing behind the brick house? All right? I mean, when we're standing behind the rock, why are we afraid of anyone that's huffing and puffing and blowing up my house in? See, I always picture the devil as a big bad wolf. And Jesus is my brick house that's the rock that's stopping anything because the devil has no right when he comes against Jesus. Craig's imagination, use it for what you want to. Maybe some of you guys are still in the straw house or the, you know, or the stick house or whatever, but I'm in the brick house. Amen. I don't mean the slammer. I'm talking about, you know, I'm surrounded by the rock. Jesus Christ is my rock. And if he can't take care of my situation, the devil's trying to blow hard against me, I don't know who can. I believe the devil's a blowhard. Like the big bad wolf. And I know I shouldn't have to use elementary, you know, rhymes for you guys to figure it out. But, you know, some of you are just that old. That's what you need. Nursery rhymes. Because you're trying to figure out with your education. It's not working real good. You know, the devil's out to get you. God's for you. Amen. That's all that matters. Amen. And if you know God, greater is he that's on the inside of you than he's in the world. I mean, there's a lot of simple scriptures. And, you know, I believe the Bible is a simple book written to simple people that should understand. You know, just like my grandfather always says, God says it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. Quit trying to question it. Well, maybe it says this. Maybe, I don't, quit saying maybe. Just trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. Say, I don't understand it. That's good. That's Bible. You don't have to understand it. You just trust God. Father God, we thank you once again for these fine folks. We thank you, Father, that you have a plan and purpose for them. And Father God, we thank you the next time that they face a situation where fear comes upon them, they won't have a spirit of fear, but they'll be able to cast that spirit out in the name of Jesus. That spirit has to leave. And that fear has to leave, and faith will rush in and take care of their situation every single time. Father God, we know that it's a natural emotion to feel fear and worry. But Father God, every time fear comes against them, we thank you that on the inside, it'll be jumping up and down. Don't be afraid, trust in me. Don't be afraid, trust in me. Don't be afraid, trust in me. And they'll begin to be able to trust in the Lord with all their heart. And we thank you, Father, for just ministering to them. But Father God, we thank you also to help us to share that with other people. Help us, other Christians, other believers, that you know what, that God is in control, that he has our back, that he's for us and not against us. And we thank you, Father, for everything that you have done and everything you are doing in our midst today. But Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without making him Savior, Lord of their life. If you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I want to tonight, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I knew the Lord as my Lord and Savior, but I kind of turned my back. I went away. And tonight I want to publicly rededicate my life to God. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I'm saved. I'm on the road to heaven. I know I am. But you guys have talked about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I've never had that experience before. Man, I tell you what, you can make it to heaven without it, but it's so much better on the earth with it. If that's you, you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. Amen. Father God, I don't see any hands. We thank you. If anyone is here that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave, that ministering people will come and minister to them on a daily basis. And we thank you, Father, that, they will come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Father God, we just thank you for everything you're doing in our midst. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand up. Before we go, if there's anyone here that needs healing in their body, anyone needs healing, come on down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you right now. We've heard many testimonies of people getting healed right here in this church. Amen. Anyone need healing? If you need healing, come down here. We want to minister to you. Amen. I'm not the healer Jesus is. Amen. You need to understand that. I don't heal anybody, because I've heard people say, well, Craig, heal me. I can't heal you. It's not me. My grandfather always said, well, I can't heal a gnat's wing or a fly's eyeball. But Jesus can. Amen. And so when you come down here, I don't want you to put your faith in me, because I'm not going to heal you. Put your faith in God. And if you can't trust God, who can you trust? So what I'm going to do is in a minute, I'm going to lay my hands upon, almost fell down right there, upon your head. And I'm going to pray for you. Amen. But what I want you to do, I want you to close your eyes here. I want you to lift your hands up toward the Lord. Amen. And I want you to think about Jesus Christ and your healing. That's all. Don't worry about what I pray, what I don't pray, what I pray doesn't matter. Just think about Jesus Christ and your healing. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this, the healing power of God flowing in these people's lives. And we thank you, Father, for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, there it is right there. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Be healed. Be set free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, right now in the name, the name, the name, the name, the name of Jesus. Receive. That's it right there. That's it, Jackie, right there. Right there in the name of Jesus. Receive it now from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Let me pray for her. Now. Father God, right now, that's it right there. That's it right there. The healing power of God's working. It's working. It's working in your body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Kahamosanda, because of that, there it is. There it is. Be healed now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Okay. This is for him. Bobby, he has cancer, right?
Yes.
All right. Stretch your hands out toward this cloth and this is for a man named Bobby who has terrible cancer, been given up to die. Amen. He was supposed to be here tonight, but he couldn't make it tonight. He was just too weak. So, you know what? God's a great God. And God wants to heal us. Amen.
Amen.
No matter how bad he's the situation, you know what? God still can, he heals today. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you for Bobby. We thank you for his life. And we thank you, Father, as this cloth is laid upon his body. We thank you, Father, for the healing power of God flowing into his body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And we thank you, Father, for driving out that evil sickness and disease. We thank you, Father, if any evil spirits be present, they have to go in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, right now for his life. And we thank you, Father, that power of God will flow into him, giving him strength, strengthen his body. We thank you, Father, for great testimonies. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. We thank you for it. We thank you for Bobby's life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
And 2 Sundays ago, you prayed for me, and I said...
Amen. What she said, if you couldn't hear it, 2 Sundays ago, she had some gallbladder issues going on, and there's things she couldn't eat because it would, and she just couldn't eat. But she was having pain. So 2 Sundays ago, I prayed for her, and it was all gone. The pain was gone, and now she's ate some of those things, and no problem whatsoever. Amen. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. You know, he's for us and not against us. He wants us healed. Amen. Amen. So, you know, if you think about it this week, I want you to, remember, it's easy to remember a name like Bobby. Just thank God that Bobby's well. Amen. Because he's been given a bad report and, his body has been deteriorating and, it thinks he lives about an hour and 45 minutes away from here. So he was going to try to come tonight and he wasn't able to make it. But man, there's no distance in the spirit. Amen. So if you remember, that's one thing. We need to be concerned about other people. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, the way we do some mess around here, I'll be back at this door to shake your hand. Amen. If you don't want to shake my hand, you can go to that door.
If you're a first-time visitor, how many first-time visitors we have? First-time visitors, all right. We have a person that's going to come and take you. They have a special gift for you. So if you're a first-time visitor, just come and step on, just step out and follow these folks. They're going to have a special thing for you. Amen. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. And if you're a first-time visitor, thank you for coming. You know, we're here on Sunday night, 6 p.m. Amen. Praise God. Well, God bless you guys. Take care. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.